Our scripture reading tonight is taken in the book of Proverbs, chapter 5. We read God's word together, all of us opening the scriptures together, the word of God in Proverbs, chapter 5. And the portion of scripture that we will consider will be the verses 15 through 21. 15 through 21. The title of the message will be Satisfied in One's Own Marriage. Satisfied in One's Own Marriage. Reading God's word in Proverbs chapter 5, My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labor be in the house of a stranger, and thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, How have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. The words of our text at verse 15, drink waters out of thy own cistern and running waters out of thy own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. And why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. May God bless his word to us this night as we read it. And as I said, our text will be the verses 15 through 21 under the title Satisfied in One's Own Marriage. The covenant son to whom the Holy Spirit writes in this chapter had come within inches of having his life destroyed by pornography, by the demon of evil sexual lusts. Verse 14, I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and the assembly. Lust, he tells us in the opening parts of the chapter, sexual lust had appeared so sweet to his flesh as the drop of an honeycomb, but he found their consequences to be as bitter as wormwood. He thought, he says in verse 5, that he would take hold of pleasure, but in reality, he was taking hold on hell. He goes on to tell us that as he gave himself over to his lusts, as he simply assumed that because those desires were so strong in him, it would be impossible to resist them, as he gave himself to the lusts, his conscience was checked. It gave him no time for reflection. He was always pursuing it. Verse 6, lest thou should ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. It prevented him, he was responsible, it prevented him from serious spiritual thought and communion with God. He knew and he had heard all of the warnings. Verse 9, the loss of his honor. Verse 10, the waste of his family wealth. Verse 10, service in the house of a stranger. That is, the loss of his family, and now working in somebody else's house. The consumption of his body. Verse 11, yet he had always believed that he could manage this sin. He believed that he had the ability to keep it secret. He had said to all of that was said to him of the warnings, yep, I've heard all of that. How have I hated, he said later, instruction, and how I despised reproof. And now it was all but sealed in his life. Verse 14. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. By those words, not only does he mean that there was now no place where he was free from his lusts, even in the congregation and the assembly of the church of God, it was with him. He not only means that, but he means he was now just about able to live a double life. There he sat in the congregation. He sang and he prayed and he was considered to be a clean-cut kid. It can be that way. It can be that way not only in this sin, but in other sins that we commit. Some evil that we walk in, and yet outwardly, all seems good. Hypocrisy of sexual sin was all but sealed in his life. He was about to sit down the rest of his life to the appearance of good and inwardly bound to lust. Almost. There's grace in that word, almost, the third word in verse 14. There's wonderful grace of God. Repentance was brought to him. It was brought to him by the word of Jesus Christ, a word that pricked, a word that exposed, a word that shamed, and a word that freed. Verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thy ear to my understanding. He was delivered not by his strength. He was not delivered because he grew up. He was not delivered because he wised up. None of these things could possibly deliver him from this lust. But he was delivered by the voice of his master, Jesus Christ, through an engrafted wisdom into his soul, through an infused understanding in Jesus Christ. Christ convicted him of his sin, of his helplessness, of his shame. Christ assured him of the power of his salvation. Christ cleansed him from his guilty sins. As we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, what know ye not, speaking now to us, is purchased in the blood of Christ. What know ye not, that ye are not your own, but ye are bought with a price? the price of the blood of Christ. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He came to know the power of the cross of Christ. He came to know what it is to be washed and to be renewed and to be given an understanding and a wisdom in Jesus Christ. As the apostle says, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. As a covenant son, he was set free from the folly and from the demon of sexual sin. And now he is married. He is newly married. Verse 15, drink waters out of thy own cistern. Explain for us in verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Understand, it was not marriage that changed him. Marriage will not change this. It was Jesus Christ who changed him. But now he is living as a husband. He is living with a wife. He is starting a family. It is his desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, in his marriage, before the eyes of his Redeemer God. And now the Holy Spirit in our text, Jesus Christ, will teach him and teach us about marriage. The Holy Spirit will teach him about the exclusive love between husband and wife. The Holy Spirit will teach us of a satisfaction, of a fulfillment, of being blessed in our own marriage. Drink water out of thy own cistern and running water out of thy own well. The Holy Spirit will teach us of what marriage is, that we are to find our satisfaction in our own marriages that God has given to us, looking for God to bless us, being ravished in the love of God one for each other, being content, being happy one with each other, growing in that marriage bond in faith and in hope and in love. The Holy Spirit will speak to us in these verses, to the redeemed sons and daughters of the covenant, of being satisfied in one's own marriage. Following the text, I'd like to point out to you the source or the fountain of marital love. In the second place, the streams that flow from this committed marriage. And finally, briefly, the sober question put to unfaithfulness in marriage. So the divisions again are the source of marital love, the streams flowing from a committed marriage, and the sober question put to unfaithfulness. In these words of our text, God is saying that it is his will and intention in his love for us that you as a Christian husband and as a Christian wife, and that you as a young person one day would find pleasure in your own husband and in your own wife, that you would find satisfaction and good in your marriage bond that God has given to you. The figure that God uses is that of a cistern and of a well and of a fountain. Drink waters out of thy own cistern and running waters out of thy own well. Verse 18, let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. And those three, the cistern, the well, and the fountain, were the means of bringing refreshment, satisfaction into the life of the Old Testament child of God physically. That was, of course, water was something they very much sought in that dry and arid climate of Palestine. And it was a picture to them of the refreshment that God would give to them in this present life. A cistern. A cistern was something that they would often dig and build with their own hands to hold water, to hold rainwater, to collect pools of water on the earth. A well, as you know, for us as well, is when we dig down to the water table, where we connect with that water table in order that a bucket may be dropped and we might draw up cool and fresh water. And then a fountain, even better yet, is where God has caused the water to bubble out, to flow, sweet water to bubble out of the ground. And note with me that the Holy Spirit has in reference all three as private sources of water, not public. Drink water out of thy own cistern, running waters out of thy own well. Verse 17, let them be only thy own, not a public spring, not a public pool or well which could be polluted, which could run afoul, which could have contaminants, which could be polluted by animals and the bathing of other animals. A man was blessed who had his own source of pure, refreshing water, clean water, to quench his thirst, to refresh him, to prosper him, so that he could be fruitful. So the Holy Spirit says is the reference to marriage. So each husband and each wife in Jesus Christ, by God, is directed unto each other, to their marital bond, for their source of refreshment, for their satisfaction, for their joy, and for their pleasure. Husband to his wife, and wife to her husband. The reference is sexually. Verse 19 is obviously speaking of that. Let her be as a loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. But not only sexually, emotionally, for comfort and for counsel, for companionship, for contentment, for fellowship, for communication, for happiness. God speaks. The Heavenly Father, whose love for us none can measure, he says, your marriage, which I have given to you, I intend to be for you a source of satisfaction and refreshment in your life. Now why? Why is that so? Well, as you know, we could look to the very beginning, the institution of marriage in creation by God, Genesis 2, when God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an help meet to be with him, and they too shall be one flesh. And God created marriage not as an appendix to life, but as a fountain of life. But we know that if we ask in turn, and why did God do that? Why did he create marriage to be that? Then we know the answer. Because our Heavenly Father created our earthly marriage to be the picture of his covenant, of his bond with us in Jesus Christ, of the relationship between Christ and his church, his faithful bond. In that bond between God and us, God says, I'm married to you, which means I rejoice in you. Zephaniah 3, verse 17, I rejoice over you with singing. Isaiah 61, verse 10, I will rejoice over you. And in that bond, God not only graciously rejoices in us as his bride in Christ, but he also calls us to live unto him, to him, whereby we will find joy and refreshment in our God in this dry and thirsty wilderness of sin and death. We find all our satisfaction in our God, in that relationship in which he has put us into Christ. Of mere grace, he has joined us to our bridegroom, our husband, to given us to belong in Him and united to Him, we find in Him all our satisfaction. We sinners, in every sorrow, in every trial, in every moment, we find in Him the source, the rivers of peace and refreshment, life and salvation, joy and gladness. Out of that relationship, we draw, Isaiah chapter 12, water out of the well of salvation. And in that relationship to Christ, all of our needs are perfectly met. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So God intends our marriages to be a picture of that, and intends that our marriage be the source of our satisfaction, the fountain, the pool out of which we draw pleasure and happiness and communication and commitment and fellowship in Christ, out of which we grow together as husband and wife in faith and in hope and in love in Jesus Christ. You do not seek, you must not seek to unload your heart to the girls on a night out at the bar where other women go to complain about their husbands. You do not look for some peace and rest and satisfaction getting away into your man's cave or avoiding the responsibilities of your home and family, but you do so by wanting to be home for supper, picking up the kids in your arms when you come through the door, helping her cut the onions or whatever for the dinner, and talking to her, and finding your satisfaction, your joy in your love one to each other. Don't look, as a young couple, don't look for your fulfillment, your satisfaction in your career. Don't look for your satisfaction in your work, but look for it and work for it in your marriage. Drink water out of thy own cistern and running waters out of thy own well. Don't look for comfort. Don't look for sympathy in the ears of another woman. Don't flirt. Don't say, she is so much more understanding than my wife. Don't look for understanding in another man. Don't look for pleasure in an affair. Don't look for pleasure in some form of pornography. Look to your wife. And if there are problems, let us together get on our knees. Let us seek the help of God. Let us seek the help of God in the church and counselors from the Word of God. Don't retreat into silence. Don't pout. Don't get mad. But humble yourself. Let us humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. This is not my word. This is not the puritanical, psychologically suppressed views of a guy who's been in the church and he's now 60 years old. It is not my word. It is God's word, His good word, His true word to you and to me. Drink water out of thy own cistern, the fountain of satisfaction for married Christians is to be in their own marriage. Just a brief interruption. Young adults and young people, Mary in the Lord. Let's look now a little more at that marital love, that source, and there are four words that we can use to describe it from the text. It is exclusive. Let them be thy own and not a stranger with thee. Thy own cistern is the wife of your youth. Who's the wife of your youth? It's the girl who you put the ring on her finger, and she put a ring on yours, which means that God himself, in his wisdom, united you as only he can unite in marriage. So that now God has mingled your life together in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, for better, for worse, till death do us part. And not a stranger, verse 17, not a stranger with thee. A stranger is someone who does not belong there in that marriage. It's anyone. It's any man, any woman. It's any person who's not your husband, who's not your wife. Your own cistern, the one that God gave to you, her, him, to be a picture of what is most dear to God, his exclusive, faithful love for us in Christ. When my children were little, I would read to them, maybe you've read this book to your children. I think it's called The Best Nest. The Best Nest. And it's about Mr. and Mrs. Robin, who have a very nice birdhouse, but they decide they need something different. And so they fly around and they almost kill themselves. One of them almost gets eaten by a cat, the other one flies into a sign. And finally, by the providence of God, or as you read the books to your children, you may explain it to them theologically, they are led somehow back to their original birdhouse. And they say, as they huddle together, in all the world, this nest is best. In all the world, she is best for you, your wife. In all the world, he's the one. It is exclusive. It is secondly sexual, intimate. I referred to verse 19. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breasts satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. God has made sexual desires for us. And he has given the relationship of marriage to be the place where these desires and this intimacy is to be enjoyed. When we pull sexual intimacy out of marriage, we abuse, we sin against what God has created. We sin against our spouse. We pervert a gift. And we use that gift for self. And we use that gift for the service of lust and not love. But intimacy is a gift of God for your marriage. And you seek that there. That is something that you share with no one else except your husband and your wife. You embrace each other there. God describes it in the most tender of terms. Let her be as a loving hind, it's a deer, a pleasant roe. Let her be cherished. Let her be prized by you. Let her breast satisfy thee. Be thou ravished by her. Don't look elsewhere. Don't embrace the bosom of a stranger. God gives that as his gift, his exclusive gift of intimacy to your marriage. The third thing, exclusive, sexual, we see in here friendship. We see companionship. We see both at each other's side. We see them supplying each other in the love of Christ with encouragement. Let everyone love his wife, says the apostle, and let every wife see that she reverence, respect her husband. We see them in communication. We see them in thoughtfulness, friendship, talk, sharing their life. We shoulder together Malachi chapter 2 as companions. He says we are companions of each other. We shoulder together our adversities and our afflictions. Two are better than one. Do you, as a husband, deal with your wife with a heavy hand? Do you just tell her, and she better adjust? Or do you treat her as a loving roe? Do you, as a wife, badger, demand, criticize, not satisfied? He doesn't make enough money. The house that he provides is not good enough. Friendship, companionship, sharing one load together. And finally, the word commitment. So the source is exclusive, sexual, companionship, and commitment. This word of God is obviously speaking to us of the grace of commitment to each other as husband and wife in the love of God, that we vow to be faithful. And that vow is to God. Now you might say, Pastor, there we think you got the wrong word. You're using the word commitment. And as I read that text, you might say to me, I see more here compatibility. For how can you be satisfied? How can you be satisfied in someone with whom you are not compatible? And so compatibility is so important. Well, beloved, I think you will agree with me that there's not one of our marriages here tonight that is as compatible as we thought when we got married. And then you must agree with me on this one, that there has never been a less compatible marriage than a holy God and a sinful church that is bound together by grace that will not let us go. And so for young women, young men, this may not sound romantic, but it is not, first of all, love. Love is important. But it is not, first of all, love that is the glue of a marriage. It's commitment. Commitment are the strong hands, husband and wife. We are committed to God. And inside that, love can grow and be nurtured. But if there's no commitment, love is exposed, it becomes naked, feeble. Commitment. Commitment safeguards our love. Commitment to God safeguards our love. You'll notice with me in verse 16 that the figure changes from drinking water out of your own cistern and satisfaction in your own marriage to streams that are now flowing out of the house down the street. We read, "Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad and rivers of water in the streets." So that the idea is that satisfaction in one's own marriage brings blessing unto others in the covenant of God. Now, very briefly here, there's a matter of interpretation and translation. And if you have a different version than the King James, you'll note that verse 18, I believe, where the King James has it translated, "Let thy fountain be blessed," or verse 16, "Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad," that other translations have it not "let," but "why." Why would you let your fountains be dispersed abroad? And so they're translating it on the idea of marriage and finding satisfaction and drinking from our own well. And why would you go elsewhere? That would be their idea. But I believe that the King James has this translated correctly. If you're looking at the passage, we don't get to an interrogative, a question, till verse 20. And verses 16, 17, 18, 19 all begin with the word "let." That is, they are imperative. It is not an interrogative, it is not a question, but it is an imperative. "Let thy fountains be dispersed and rivers of water in the streets." It's not questioning why we would do that. It's calling us to do that. And the point is, as I said, when husband and wife are seeking their marital bond as satisfaction to them, there will be streams flowing out of that marriage of blessing unto others in the church of God. And we need not, first of all, think of children as being the blessing of this marriage. But it says that these streams will flow out into the streets, into the cities. And so satisfaction in your marriage is a blessing unto others. It is a blessing unto the church of Jesus Christ. What do others in the congregation receive from your marriage as we walk in the assembly of the people of God among the saints? Do they receive from our marriage a forgiving heart, accepting each other, thoughtful husbands, warm, kind, considerate? Or do others at times receive from our marriage what is caustic, grudge? Talking to us, they realize suddenly they hit a sore spot. And so God is encouraging us. Commitment to your marriage, satisfaction in your marriage, is a refreshment to fellow believers. There are streams flowing in the street. But while these streams, I said, are not, first of all, children, they certainly are, by God's grace, children. One reference to that, Isaiah 48, verse 1. Hear this, O house of Jacob, which are called by the name of Israel, and are come forth out of the waters of Judah. The prophet addresses the people of Judah before him as those who have come out of the waters, born of Judah. They had come out of Judah, out of the promise of God. The covenant children, we know, flow from one well. That's not us. That's the promise of God in Christ, out of mere grace. But nevertheless, a marriage built by God of two in Christ, seeking satisfaction in each other, blessed now by children, that marriage is a blessing sent into the life of your child by God. God is pleased to bless your child through your marriage. That's a point that we know and we need to remember. We need to remember that as grandparents, and we need to remember that as married husbands and wife. Our marriages touch, impact, affect our children, the children of the church. Now we realize in our marriages, and whether we're grandparents, been married for 30, 40 years, or 5 years, we soon realize that we fail and we sin against our children. It's not easy having two children, little ones, and then the third one. We can become irritable and under the stress of the work, angry. And as husbands, we can come home frustrated with the work and want just to be left alone. And we sin against our children. We yell. And we weep. And at the end of the day, we go to God as husband and wife. You take your wife's hand and you go to God. And God forgives. And God says to you as a mother, a Christian mother, God says, I am well pleased in you. Now the point is this, beloved, that our children will survive our shortcomings. I'm not giving us an excuse. I'm simply reckoning with the fact that you and I are imperfectly sanctified sinners and we sin against our children. By God's grace, they will survive that. The most important thing that they need from you is that you are happy with each other. That dad loves mom. And mom always at dad's side. That you are drinking water out of your own cistern and out of your own fountain. And that your children know that you, as their parents, are committed. You are committed that you will deal with each other as husband and wife, as God has dealt with you. The emphasis is also in the text on a clear stream. So it's calling us to be establishing a godly and a holy home. The streams, our children are coming out of our marriage, then there can be no four-letter words. There can be no cursing. There must be in this wicked, sold to sexual sin world naivete. We must see that as husband and wives, our walk before them teaches them. Teaches them what marriage is. Teaches them the truth of the sexual gift. Teaches them purity. A stream is something that can be easily polluted. Easily, you can pollute a stream. And so as husbands and wives, we can easily pollute the lives of our children. Earlier this summer, while outside working, I needed to write something down, and I grabbed a red pen out of my study. I wrote it down, and I shoved it into my pocket. I forgot about it. It got into the wash machine, a dark load. It was okay. The problem came when it got into the dryer. My wife had put that pants into the dryer with other pillowcases and t-shirts. And there's not a one that does not have red marks. In fact, it's even on the drum of the dryer. One act of folly. In the midst of this world of immorality, just one drop of dye, and a child's life is colored. The stream must be clear from a marriage that is committed. Daily repentance, committed to each other, to be faithful to each other. Verse says, verse 19, be thou ravished always by her love. That sounds very romantic, ravished, consumed by her beauty. But actually the translation there is, err thou always in her love. Error thou only always in her love. In other words, if you're going to make a mistake as a man, if you're going to make a mistake by loving her too much, by loving him more than he deserves. Because God has loved you and me far more than we deserve. The passage concludes with a sober question to married people. Why wilt thou, my son, be ravished with a strange woman and embrace the bosom of a stranger? Why? The question is asked almost after the fact, when the shame and the folly floods upon the soul. Why? Pride. Sinful pride. Self-seeking. Why? Why look outside of your own marriage? Drink water out of your own cistern. Why? Since God has given to us in his wisdom our husband and our wife, why? Why would we conclude that the companionship of another man, of another woman, will bring happiness when God has given to us our own spouse? Why? For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, says the text, and he ponders all of his goings, which certainly means that it's folly for us to think, it's utterly folly, that we think that we can conceal our sins. God has provided for you and for me as sinners satisfaction. Out of mere grace, he has opened a well, a cistern, a fountain, from which we may draw every refreshment of the soul. It is Jesus Christ. It is his cross. There is a fountain filled with blood, flows from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Come to that water. Buy that water without price and without money. The cleansing, the precious, the beautiful blood of Jesus Christ, the sweet refreshment of the unchanging love of God and his forgiveness of me, a sinner. Be washed in that fountain. And hear his words, I am pleased in you. And now show that you know that your refreshment is in the cleansing blood of Christ, the Lord's Supper this morning. Show that you know that by being content, satisfied, thankful, happy in your own marriage. Amen. Father, we need thy word. We want thy word. We want only thy word preached to us. We want not the word of man. We have heard thy word spoken to us in weakness, but we have heard thy word, for it is so clear that as Christ is satisfied and we are satisfied in him, so he wills for us, his children, forgiven in his blood, to be satisfied in our own marriages. Now, thy word is not empty. Thy word is a power unto salvation. Bring us before our God in all humility and work within our hearts that we may be committed to find satisfaction in our own marriage. In Jesus' name, amen.